The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Let me bring in friend of the show, Dog Insider, Bon Vivant, Brooks Austin, lead editor of Dogs Daily and the film guy on YouTube, kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Brooksy, how are you?
What was that word? Quoi vivant?
No, you're a bon vivant.
What is
you'll
that
look
mean?
It up when we're done. Take it. You'll peek at it.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll
get some style.
What's up,
flavor?
Baby?
Good to talk to you. Hey, Brooks, I want to pick your brain about Kenny McIntosh because I love this number that I saw last night, and I've heard a couple of other people reference it. McIntosh now became the second running back in two bleeping decades at Georgia to rush for at least 600 in a season, catch at least 400 receiving yards. He joins Todd Gurley. That's the list, who did it in 2013. And what I love about McIntosh the last 2 weeks, 35 touches, 344 yards, two touchdowns. He looks like he's getting better and they're leaning on him more. Can you see that kind of continuing over the next three games?
So here was the thing that I always noticed about Kenny, like even dating back to his days as like the third back and, you know, last couple years as a third back, he always seemed the best of them all at being able to do all of it simultaneously, right? Like James Cook was good outside the box. We could run outside zone with him. We could get him outside the tackles. We could throw the ball to him. We could do all those things as an offensive staff. We thought Zamir, great in between the tackles. We can do these types of things with Zamir. We can run counter with them. We can run power, you know, we can run power runs. We can run zone schemes with them. But we don't really feel comfortable with Zamir outside the backfield. Whereas, like, Kenny, even, like, if you go back and look at 2020 Alabama film, you can see it. Kenny's, like, the midway through the third quarter, they give him the ball, like, six times in a row in between the tackles. And he's making, like, elite, elite NFL reads in between the tackles. So I always knew he's going to be great at both. The thing that I didn't know was, hey, can you play through 5 weeks of a bone bruise in that 5 years? Because that's basically what he's been doing now. That's what the NFL didn't know either. And I think that's where he's made his most money. Anybody that's evaluated him as a football player the last 3 years knows he's this talented and knew he was going to be great at both of these. We just didn't know if he's going to stay on the field. And he stayed on the field this year and played really, really tough.
You're going to project this because you're not in the room with him. But, I mean, you know what goes on. For all the talk about it, doesn't even matter if Georgia wins. Even coming off of College Station, three losses, their season ain't going to happen for them for LSU. Talk about the mentality of Kirby and everybody even associated with the coaching staff. They're drilling down like it's an undefeated 12-0 team coming in here. I mean, there is no, there's no whisper. There's no thought of, well, you know, if we lose, we're probably in anyway. They want to go beat the hell out of LSU.
It's hard to get 19 and 20-year-olds up for Tech. It's hard to get them up for Missouri on the road at night in the cold. It ain't hard to get them up for an SEC championship now. I mean, this is still an SEC championship. Your head coach opened the week in his press conference talking about that. This still means something. This is still one of the premier environments in the sport of college football. I don't go as far as Kirby. He talks about the sport of football in general. I mean, it ain't one of them. It's a big football game. It means a lot. These guys are going to get up for this football game. They're going to play well in this football game. It's hard not to go into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and feel some juice, and it's almost impossible to come out flat, right? I mean, Georgia has not came out lacking execution this year. It has seemed that they have come out in spurts of football games flat, right? Flat is allowing Georgia Tech to walk the ball 11 plays, 77 yards on your butt to open the game. That ain't your defense. That's not who you are. That's who you are if you're flat. That's not who they're going to be Saturday. I don't imagine. It's the SEC championship game. You're right. Yeah, they are coaching them boys up like you're about to play a 12-0 team. And it does matter. It does matter. It's the difference between coming back at this same venue a month from now or traveling out west. Again, traveling back-to-back opportunities out west. Not something that I would imagine this staff is afraid to do, but not something that they want to do.
Brooks Austin's with us again. Bon vivant. Insider for Georgia football. You can find him on YouTube, the film guy. He's with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. So I think you summed up what happened last week against Georgia Tech well. But as we said, that's kind of a pattern, right? And maybe that's the human nature coming off a championship and we're just better than you. But Brooks, it was different Saturday because it happened getting off the bus, where it has been the lackluster third quarter after a big lead against Florida, or the fourth quarter was cold and let's get the hell out of Kentucky. That was the only thing different about the Tech game that had happened right off the bat. What did you make of that part of it?
I mean, slow starts. I mean, it really, when I look back at it, they had four offensive possessions in the first half. They scored on two of them. They got a bullcrap face pass call on Brock Bowers on a third one, and they opened with a three and out. So there were your four possessions in a quote-unquote slow start. You scored on half of them, okay? And the refs, the Zebras, kept you on one of them, I would say. I mean, you guys saw the face mask slash horse collar. It was very, very ticky-tack. Mm-hmm. It was either way. And all of a sudden, you're forced in a fourth and 17 as opposed to a first down. And they had to punt the football there before the half. It's a lot to say, like, man, they looked really, really slow offensively. They lacked a whole bunch of execution. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like five or six plays in only about 21 plays in the first half total. Not a huge sample size. What I will say is that they have had spurts of bad football, and they have managed to get themselves out of them. One of these spurts was definitely to start the football game against Missouri. Missouri came out, smacked their butt in the mouth for like a full quarter, and Georgia almost looked shell-shocked. And then Malachi Starks made a play. The ball started getting rolling, right? That was a good football team surviving one of those moments. Can LSU force one of those moments? Absolutely. It's SEC football, 100%. A couple turnovers, a couple of punts in a row. That's all it really takes to be down 14-0 in an SEC football game.
All right, not drill down too much X's and O's, but, you know, take this where you want. Out of an odd front, I know you got to identify blitzers. It's a little different than even. But having said that, when a team does blitz, and we'll use Georgia, it's not to me, everybody says, oh, you're going to leave a receiver open. I'm like, no, you lose your pursuit is what happens. Pursuit don't work with fewer players doing it. It works with Georgia somehow. The back end of Georgia's defense, why are they able to blitz and they don't lose pursuit? Is it just raw speed? I don't think that's it. Is it positioning? Is it coaching? What is it? Because they're able to blitz without having to pay the price of losing pursuit, and that's just amazing to me.
So, first of all, it is that. Their guys are faster than anybody else. We'll talk about it here in a second. But schematically, rush lanes. The rush lanes are much more integrity than other people, right? When quarterbacks slip through, they got to work to slip through. And then once they slip through, they got to work to get flat to beat the secondary defender, the linebacker, right? And then they got to outrun the safety. Whereas the other schools, the linebacker might be 3 or 4 yards away from the quarterback as he slips a much wider gap and gets to take a straight line to the angle to beat the safety. Long story short. But they are faster than everybody else. Malachi Starks is probably the best athlete in college football, pound for pound, until Nicholas Harbor gets here. Y'all will probably learn about him. He's a freak from Washington, by the way. He's 6'6 and runs a 10-2 in the 100 at 230 pounds. They're making humans like that, by the way, now. Anyways, they got a bunch of freaks back there that run really, really fast. So they are faster than everybody else, and they prioritize speed. I cannot get a kid a look at Georgia. You will not get your kid a look at Georgia if they, A, don't run track, and if they, B, don't run sub 11 seconds. They ain't sniffing it. They ain't getting an offer. I don't care how big, how tall, how fast, how good on the tape. If they're not fast, track fast, wow, legitimate, measurable fast, they don't want them.
That's supposed to be
all about speed.
That's supposed to be the crack against a team that wants to send heat, and it's just not there against Georgia. And it's amazing.
100%. And a lot of it is, yeah, again, it is speed, but it's rush integrity too. It's hard to get out of the pocket against Georgia. If you do get out of the pocket easily, like Ashburn against Auburn, that was the game plan. They wanted to flush that dude to his right. And so he just kept taking the bait. He was like, oh, it's here. Let's run. They want you to run. I guarantee you Saturday when Jaden Daniels thinks he's got a lane, he probably won't. He'll probably have a spy on him really, really quickly.
Brooks, I would venture to guess that Josh Heupel will win SEC Coach of the Year, but I could make a great case for Kirby if I start talking about what they lost in the draft, what they lost in the transfer portal, what they lost with the assistant coaches. I think the one thing we overlook is, because we spent so much time talking about what left defensively for the draft, the turnover on the offensive line, not having Pickens last year, not having AD Mitchell this year. There's a lot of stuff that they've had to overcome, and it has not slowed anything down. Again, I don't know that he'll win it, but boy, I think Kirby should get some more attention for that.
He should, and I think Kirby did a great job this year, and it all started 3 or 4 years ago recruiting the guys to replace the guys that just went into the draft, right? And he'll tell you that as much. It's all about player acquisition as much as it is about coach replacement as well. They replaced four position coaches this year, and he got four dudes. I mean, Chidera Uzodiribe, has gotten them into rooms with the outside linebacker room in terms of recruitment that they probably weren't in years past. Fran Brown, you can say the same thing about the defensive back room. You know, Stacey Searles has done a bang-up job with that offensive line unit. My Lord, if they don't win the Joe Moore Award, I got to go watch other teams, apparently, and watch them closer, because what I watch on Saturdays with Georgia's offensive line is pretty Sunday-worthy. And then Brian McClendon, I think he's done an exceptional job with what he's had at the receiver core as well. So, yeah, they replaced a lot of great talent. They also replaced a lot of great coaches as well. But, hey, I throw the shout out to Shane Beamer. That would be my vote. I think what he's done at South Carolina, I want to strap up and play for the Gamecocks tomorrow. That dude's got it. I don't know what it is, but he's got it.
Cast an eye to North Avenue, and especially after last week's game, I'm sure you watch more Tech than you ever. Just your general impression, what you feel, you suspect can happen with Tech with Brent Key.
On field recruiting staff, whatever, just any opinion. So here's the deal: if you're a Georgia Tech fan, listen to this today. If you're anybody affiliated with Georgia Tech, it's not gonna matter who your head coach is, because you're in it. You have to dedicate resources to going out and recruiting, putting a footprint in this state. Guys, the best football programs in America come to this like hotbed for athletes. And I go out every week, and I'll see four high school teams tomorrow from 5 to 9. I guarantee I will not see a Georgia Tech logo. Now, I know they're in a coaching change, but that's been for the last 3 or 4 years. Like, I don't see them. They're not here. Like, I see Georgia G's everywhere. I see Florida Gator everywhere. I see South Carolina everywhere. I see Georgia State everywhere. I haven't seen a Yellow Jacket logo in a minute. And that's not the coach's fault either, because they don't have the resources to go. And if they don't have the resources to go, they can't go, which means they're not going to get players. And if they don't get players in this area, in that conference, then they're just going to be who they are. And they're just going to keep cycling, no matter how much the coach loves the university. And that's awesome. That's great that they got a guy that loves that place, because that's what it's going to require. But he can work tooth to the bone. If he don't have no help, then he don't have no help.
I'm going to quote you on that. If you don't have no help, then he don't have no help.
Hey, by the way, I just explained the plight of a whole bunch of high school football head coaches right now.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them, man. They're fighting administration left and right trying to get some help. They can't get no help.
You did it well, too. Brooks Austin, the lead editor from Dogs Daily, the film guy on YouTube, and a bon vivant. You looked that up now. Brooks, it's good to catch up, my friend.
How do you even spell that?
Look it up. You got Google?
I got, you know what? Siri's going to get that in the voice.
Siri's got all the answers. See you, buddy.
No doubt. We'll see you, boys.
There he is, Brooks Austin with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. He's never lacking for an opinion. That's why we like him. Coming up next, the last college football coach who needs to play the resume card handed out the whole deck after his team's latest loss. This one might surprise you. You'll hear who it is next.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.